Hello, everybody. Bill Buckmaster with you, along with my buddy Tom Fairbanks. We keep Tom on the other side of the glass. That's kind of where the engineering and producing for the show is done. And Tom, it's hard to believe that the forecast is calling for snow flurries next Thursday.
Wednesday night, Thursday morning, higher elevations, it's a possibility.
Yeah, I mean, it's happened before. We've had some snow in March here, so winter will be hanging on all right. That's okay.
You know why I'm on the other side of the glass, don't you?
Why do they keep you on the other side of the glass?
That's the only way you can get people to come into your studio.
Oh, to keep you
there. Because I'm on the other side of the glass.
There you go. Well, the studio is the Green Thing Zocalo Village Studio, not the control room. But anyway, it's Friday, February 18th, 2022. The radio station is 1030, Tucson's trusted source for news talk. The call letters are pretty easy to remember. KVOI, like The Voice. And we are marking now our 12th year here with the radio show and 34 years in TV and radio in Tucson. Tim Steller is not that far behind. Tim at the Arizona Daily Star is with me in studio. Tim, you actually celebrated the 25th, your 25th anniversary in January, right?
That's right, yep. January 1997, I arrived in Tucson.
From the Minneapolis-St. Paul area?
No, from Flagstaff at that time.
Oh.
Yeah.
Native of the Minnesota area,
right,
but you were working at the paper, The Sun, up in Flagstaff?
That's right, yep.
Yeah. How'd that go for you?
Oh, it was great. I loved it there. Unfortunately, I left after only like 18 months or so, I kind of wish I'd had more time there.
Okay. Our media partners, TucsonSentinel.com. Thank you, Dylan Smith. Dylan and his group doing a great job over there. Dan Shear at the Green Valley News and Saharita Sun, Tucson Local Media Group and its portfolio of publications, Inside Tucson Business, Tucson Weekly, Oro Valley Explorer, Marana News, Foothills News, and Desert Times. Our Friday Focus interview today is with Felipe Garcia. Felipe, the new president and CEO of Visit Tucson, which is a nonprofit 501 organization. Mr. Garcia replaces Brent Durad. Brent resigned in October to head the Arlington, Texas Convention and Visitors Bureau. Brent came down to Tucson from Scottsdale. Now he's over the Dallas area. Felipe has led Visit Tucson's Vamanos, a Tucson, Mexico marketing effort throughout his tenure at Visit Tucson. He was instrumental in Tucson's designation as the first city to be named UNESCO's City of Gastronomy. Felipe, good to reconnect with you and see you in person. How are you?
I'm doing great. Good to see you, Bill, and then also my friend Tim Steller, that we used to run into each other in soccer games with our kids years ago.
The kids were playing soccer.
Absolutely, they were back in the day.
Yep. And so both of you were like the parents out there yelling, come on!
Oh, yeah.
What
only negative heck? Comments, Bill. That's
what
the way it is.
What is that coach doing?
Yeah. Well, I was a coach of my team. So, I was a dad and a coach, and it was fun.
So how did we do with the Gem Show? This was kind of a reset for the Gem Show. Yes, last year they tried to kind of put together some small little shows, but, you know, we had kind of the granddaddy of the show again at the Tucson Convention Center. What are you hearing? That's kind of one of our signature events.
Absolutely. So we've been talking to a few of the Gem Show owners to see how did it go? What was your feeling? They feel positive, strong. We think that it was about 70% of the usual
of 20, traditional. Say 2019.
Exactly.
Yeah.
But these year, very strong sales. That's what we heard, that people
were spending money.
People were spending money. There were a lot of maybe wholesalers that were still looking for inventory. And we heard positive news. We'll meet with them and we'll follow up throughout the year to make sure to address their needs, their complaints, if there's any, and how we can work together to solve them. But
they've got
so far,
to like
good.
The fact, Felipe, we've got, since they, many of them made their first return visit here since 2019, they got to like the fact that the downtown's changed a tremendous amount.
Absolutely.
New hotels, new restaurants.
We heard that from some of the vendors. They say, wow, this is different. And it seemed that it was just a 1 year to wear off, but those 2 years made a huge impact for them. So we're happy to get them back into Tucson and get them celebrating our community. And as a fact, we're on the fall, we're going to have some of the Gem Shows come back. So all of a sudden, we're starting to get some fall Gem Shows
really?
Coming into Tucson. Yeah, it's been phenomenal.
Are they all coordinated at the same time,
yeah.
you mean?
Uh-huh. Yes. Uh-huh. Like in a one-week period, five or six are starting to get together, and we're really happy about it.
You got some good news you shared with me before we went on the air. When you look at cities around the country, their convention and visitors bureaus, as they try to come out of the pandemic and come out strong, and we are really doing well as we come out of this in 2022. Share with our listeners what you told me about Visit Tucson and how we are doing compared to other cities.
Absolutely. So yesterday we got our monthly report. There's a company called Smith Travel Research. And this company around the country, they gather information of hotel occupancy, the rates, and that's give you the average daily rate and your revenue per room. And we get the Tucson information, but we also buy information, the data, for our competitive set. So we want to know how Scottsdale is doing, and Phoenix, and
Albuquerque,
San Francisco. So there's 13 cities that we go and measure after. And
kind of what you would call peer cities.
Exactly. Okay. Exactly. And we got our numbers for the month of January of 2022, and occupancy-wise, number one, Tucson.
What?
Number one, Tucson. We were ahead of Scottsdale, ahead of Phoenix, ahead of San Diego. So we had a very, it was 61.7, around 62%. So still, we're in a recovery mode, but we're doing very well. And the same happened October, November, December of last year. We've been trailing in the top three. When historically we used to trail in the bottom three, we were always trying to beat Albuquerque. We're beating Scottsdale many times.
All right, here's Tim Steller. Tim, what's on your mind?
Well, as far as the new hotels go downtown, so there's, I can think of about four or five of them. Do you have any specific information about them? How they did?
They're doing well, and we had a meeting with the owners of one of the properties, the Mix Hampton Inn, and the extended stay that they have on the same facility. Of course, we showed up and said, what, are you going to build more floors on the top? And he says, no, we're doing good. Business is coming as we expected. They're starting to get some kind of business that they were not expecting, like motor coaches. This is, we're getting people with motor coaches.
Yeah,
we're
that's a hot area right now, the motor coaches.
It is.
People want to just, like, see the country right now.
It's amazing. Leisure travel is the one that is driving our destination. The conventions, the groups, they're still trailing. People are not ready. Many associations are not ready. But what we're seeing is that leisure visitor. I mean, 2 days ago, I think it was, I was home and I heard some helicopters. Mm-hmm. And I picked out, it was my son, the one that told me, like, Dad, like, there's four helicopters, like, one after each other. Mm-hmm. And there's a beautiful app called FlightAware that you can actually see what plane it is.
FlightAware, yeah.
So I went and checked it out because I saw them flying on top of my house. And there were four Eurocopters, not military, that they picked up people from the airport, took them somewhere. They landed by Tanque Verde Guest Ranch. Mm. So we keep seeing these very interesting high-end visitors.
End.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes. Huh. I talked to our peers at the airport, and on the private aviation, you'll be fascinated by the kind of individuals that have discovered Tucson. They've been coming for many years. We're seeing more and more of those kinds of visitors coming to Tucson.
Why? Why do they like this area now? I mean,
I
know that people can work anywhere. People are leaving the big cities and they could work anywhere, but it's got to be the outdoor component has to help.
Absolutely.
Through the pandemic deal.
Open spaces.
Yeah.
We're hearing from a lot of people that we can vacation in Chicago, beautiful city, New York, but I'm going to be maybe in the subway packed with a lot of people and everywhere's going to be, I want space. And I want, especially people that went through the pandemic with stay-at-home mandates in other cities, they're desperate to be in a place that it's open. A good friend of mine, he was the director of tourism for the city of Madrid in Spain. And I remember one day I was walking in my neighborhood, and this is in the middle of the pandemic when we were still, this is 2020, the beginning, when we were like called to be working from home. And I'm walking with my WhatsApp application, and I turn the camera on, and he can see the desert behind me. And he says, Felipe, aren't you guys in lockdown? And like, yes, we are, but we can go out. And then he turned his camera and showed me. He says, Felipe, this is my apartment in Madrid.
Yeah.
This is my open space. That is my balcony. And then I can go to the grocery store every 2 weeks, and that's it.
Wow.
So he says, I'm dying to go somewhere and just be outside.
Yeah.
So open spaces have really helped us come and recover our tourism industry.
All right, Tim.
What are you seeing or hearing about Mexican travelers from Mexico now that the border has been open to people who are vaccinated, et cetera?
So we have a couple, very many challenges. Number one, The border reopened, but many people, their visas expire. So Mexico, you need to get a visa, laser visa, and it's a 10-year. So visas, many of the visas expired in 2020, and many of the State Department offices were also shut down. So there were people not able to renew their visas. So we're hearing people saying, hey, Felipe, I got my appointment to get my visa for 2023, November. Mm-hmm. So I have to wait to get two years to get your visa.
Wow.
So I've been in contact with State Department that they're coming with
That hurts us.
That really hurts us. So we've been talking to State Department about how can we make sure that there's a new process. So they have changed some policies internally to expedite mostly renewals. They say, well, if you're renewing, we have your information. Mm-hmm. Let's make something different. So we expect those. So, Tim, we're starting to see people coming back. There were not the hordes of people we were expecting, but definitely that market has saved, especially the month of December when they were able to come back. Well, November, it really has helped move the needle. So we had some cancellations on the group activity, conventions, meetings. But that leisure visitor from Mexico was great to see them back in Tucson.
Is it at the consulates where they get these visas renewed?
And that's
correct. That's where the trouble is if it is still
exactly
problematic.
Yeah. So the consulates were closed, basically.
The U.S. consulates.
U.S. consulates
in Mexico.
Yeah. And embassies and everything was closed. So now that people are going back, they say, yes, but here's your appointment, but it's going to be till 18 or 24 months from now.
Okay.
I've been talking to the U.S. consul in Hermosillo, great guy. He gets it. They've been talking to Washington, D.C., trying to find ways to, again, to streamline the process. So I'm confident it's going to happen. I'm already hearing people like, oh, they called me and they moved like 7 months my appointment. So I think that we're going to be hopefully seeing that influx coming strong.
Yeah. One thing I was hearing from people in Nogales, granted it's a different scenario than Tucson, is that during the closure of the border to most Mexican travelers, the shopping habits changed. Mm-hmm. And so a lot of people, especially in the border cities, just adjusted. They stopped crossing the border to shop, and stores boomed in Mexico. Are you seeing any impact?
Absolutely.
Here in Tucson?
Oh, yeah. I mean, and it's interesting that you mentioned the team because our team, we've been talking about it. It's the consumer change. They started buying online. They started buying locally at stores. What do we need to do to keep engaging with those visitors? So we're doing a couple of things. Number one, events. We know that that's a big destination driver.
Festivals and stuff.
Festival, concerts. I mean,
yeah.
And if you look at the Vegas model. So when you have an opportunity, go to your computer and go to the Mexican Independence Day weekend, September 16th, and look at the lineup of artists in Las Vegas.
Okay.
And they're going to be Luis Miguel and Chayanne, Alejandro Fernandez.
So they're really tailoring it.
Big time.
In Las Vegas to that weekend.
And it's the Caesar's
Palace. I hadn't even
Palace.
Thought of that weekend.
Yeah.
That's huge.
It's huge. So Vegas has done it for years. Mm-hmm. So now we're starting to see in Tucson, all of a sudden, Ricardo Arjona is going to be at the TCC, Jesse Joy. There's Mexican artists that they're being pulled to come to Tucson. That will draw the visitation. But another thing that we did, Tim, during the pandemic was if those visitors were buying online, how can we set up a program to help them buy online from Tucson? So we're working with a company where people from Mexico can buy online at any retailer in the U.S. We give them a Tucson domicile so we can at least generate sales tax.
Mm-hmm.
People get their product, and then a customs broker that we're working with will ship the product to our office in Hermosillo, and people can pick it up at the office in Hermosillo.
Wow.
And in December, I went to the warehouse to see what kind of things they were ordering. I found a box of Christmas cards that were like custom made with a name, and a jacuzzi. So it was like, and everything in between, a television, a guy with a refrigerator, clothing, a lot of clothing. So we want to be very progressive and adapt to change.
So we get a piece of it then.
At least we get the sales tax.
So the customers are buying it from retailers in Tucson?
Yeah, or anywhere in the U.S. So they might buy from Target or Amazon or Walmart. But as you know, they changed the law in Arizona about 3 years ago that now online sales also generate sales tax.
Mm-hmm.
So we want to make sure that we're capturing at least those sales tax here. So we're, again, promoting and telling people. And there's a fee that the broker will pay, but many people say it's worth it.
Mm-hmm.
It's definitely worth it. And we're trying to push, of course, any local business and any Tucson business that hopefully has some online presence mm-hmm. for people from Mexico to buy.
So that might be one area where you're kind of setting out your own vision, is you want more festivals and events.
We want to see how we can work more with festivals and events, but that really have the opportunity to attract visitors.
Okay.
When you're traveling to a festival, you want to go to a place that has 3 or 4 days of activities, but it's all day long. I'm not going to go and travel if it's going to be, okay, tonight's a concert and then tomorrow another one. Okay, why do I do the rest? It's not a festival. Yeah. It's maybe a conglomerate of events. So we want to make sure that we're compressing events. Like this May, we're going to have 3 events happening almost simultaneously. Mariachi Conference coming back downtown, Agave Herds Festival, and Pueblos del Maíz. So we're going to have 3 events almost the same days. They're going to be actually, they're going to be forming a nice compression. So a visitor can say, well, from Phoenix, I'm going to drive down to Tucson. They're going to be like 3 or 4 days, that morning, lunch, night, evening. There's going to be presentations, concerts, music, tastings. That will draw people. So I think that events, it's a good way to attract more visitation. That's an area I want to really go and keep tapping into. And food and gastronomy. I think that still we have a lot to do in that space. I think that we can still, it's been amazing. I don't know if you saw the publication from Bon Appetit magazine yesterday or 2 days ago, came a story about Tucson. We have 2 other stories coming very soon about our food scene. We believe that there's still more to do.
Yeah, let's talk more about the food scene after we take the break here with Felipe Garcia, now the head of Visit Tucson. But right now, Felipe, we want to talk about my favorite bakery in town. You love bakery goods. I know you do.
I do.
Yeah, what would you go for right now at Mona's Danish Bakery? Would you go for the a croissant of some type, a chocolate filling, almond, or would you go for what they call a Danish kringle, a Danish coffee cake? What are you in the mood for right now, Felipe?
Oh, gosh. Croissant chocolate, the pan chocolat.
Yeah.
Whew, that to me, it's...
You'd go for that.
Go. And to me, because it brings
the
all these memories.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, yeah. Yeah. It's comfort food for
you. It's comfort food, exactly.
Yeah. Now, what about you, Tim, at Mona's Danish Bakery, northeast corner of Swan and Sunrise? What are you in the mood for today?
I'll stick with the tradition and go with the kringle.
You will go with the kringle and with the almond?
So when are we getting this, Bill?
Yeah, I know. I should
have
brought one in.
I have lunch.
What about filling? Almond, multi-berry?
Multi-berry sounds good.
Go with the multi-berry.
Yeah, let's do it.
All right. Mona's Danish Bakery, open right now for lunch. I wish we had those goods right in front of me, actually. Northeast corner of Swan and Sunrise. They're open for breakfast 6:30, and people are waiting at the door when they open for their pastries and for their coffee. Open right now for lunch. Mona's Danish Bakery.com is the website, and we'll take a break right here. More talking about food and the food connection to tourism with Felipe Garcia and Tim Steller of the Arizona Daily Star right after this.
Family-owned Jam Culinary Concepts and its family of restaurants has you covered for your special event. Jam caters anytime, anywhere, any size group, and any type of cuisine. Vero Amore, authentic Neapolitan pizza, and Noble Hops. Craft beer and fine fare are synonymous with quality. Call 954-1468 or log on to jamculinaryconcepts.com.
The Regional Transportation Authority plan is funded by a voter-approved half-cent sales tax, which expires in June 2026. To prepare for ongoing project delivery, the RTA board established a Citizens Advisory Committee to select projects for a new draft plan. The committee will help identify which projects to invest in to best meet regional transportation needs. Learn more about plan development and provide early input at rtanext.com.
This is Bill Buckmaster. You've heard me talk about choosing Tucson International Airport. While fewer people are traveling lately, our airport is doing even more these days to help ensure traveler health safety, including counter safety shields, physical distancing markers, enhanced cleaning, and more. It's called TUS Cares, and you can learn more at flytucson.com. These may be different times, but my priority remains to fly Tucson. Tucson International Airport.
Green Things is a family-owned and operated plant nursery serving Tucson since 1970. Open daily at 3384 East River Road, Green Things is chock full of plants and pottery from around the world. Green Things is also now home to Zocalo, featuring fine Mexican and South American imports spread over five buildings on the 13-acre Green Things property. For more, visit greenthingsaz.com and zocalovillage.com.
Are you happy with the news you get? While not all news is good news, you know good reporting when you see it. Check TucsonSentinel.com every day for breaking news and investigative reports. Have your say in the comments. It's all in TucsonSentinel.com, your local independent nonprofit news. You can rely on TucsonSentinel.com for solid reporting about immigration, Tucson and penal politics, everything from the border to baseball. It's independent news without the spin. TucsonSentinel.com. We are watching Tucson.
The Friends of Pima Animal Care Center is the nonprofit partner to our Pima County Animal Shelter. We grant critically needed resources to PACC so that it can continue the amazing life-saving progress it has made in recent years. Your generosity helps us find homes for abused, neglected, and abandoned animals at PAC. Learn how you can help at friendsofpacc.org.
Are you searching for a sumptuous suite on the Italian Riviera, an exploration of the mighty Mississippi, or an indulgent spa in Cancun? Bon Voyage Travel will help you find exactly the vacation you're looking for anywhere in the world. With many cruises setting sail in over 1,100 hotels and resorts to choose from with our exclusive benefits, Bon Voyage Travel's experienced advisors are here to guide you every step of the way. Visit bvtravel.com or call 797-1110.
All right, welcome back. It is the Buckmaster Show, our Friday Focus interview today, Felipe Garcia. We're happy to have Felipe with us in his new role as president and CEO of Visit Tucson. He's actually been with Visit Tucson for 17 years, and I for one, was just delighted that after a national search, they chose someone as qualified as Mr. Garcia within the organization, so I thought that was a great move. So let's talk about, Tim Stuller, like it's an afterthought. Oh, and by the way,
it's all right.
Tim, yeah. Oh,
feeling sleepy today anyway.
Yeah, by the way, Tim Stuller is here, 2021 Arizona Newspaper Association Journalist of the Year. All righty. The City of Gastronomy, the United Nations, called UNESCO. I'm not sure what that's the United Nations cultural kind of branch, right?
Education, Science, and Cultural Organization.
There you go. Mm-hmm. So it's been about, 7 years or so since we were the first city in North America to get that designation. Consequently, we now have San Antonio has joined us as the second city. How big a deal has that been for tourism in this town? Was it the ultimate game changer?
I think it's definitely one of those game changers in our community. And we don't realize how big it is. And because I think that in the U.S., we don't understand the power of the brand of UNESCO. Let me tell you a fascinating fact. So after we were designated a few months later, the city of Parma, Italy, they call and said, hey, we want to invite you, want to fly you guys. We'll send you airline tickets. We'll host you because we want to do a celebration of Parma being a city of gastronomy. So we show up in Parma, Italy. We walk into City Hall, and this is beautiful, 100 years old building. And they have two plaques outside of their City Hall. One plaque that is commemorating the foundation of the city of Parma, I don't know, 1,000 years ago. And the second plaque, UNESCO City of Gastronomy.
You're kidding. It's right out there as one of their big honors.
It's their biggest honors. And so if you go to European cities, Asian, and you talk about UNESCO and City of Gastronomy, it's like the top honors, it's the Oscars, it's the best in the world. Mm-hmm. I think sometimes in the U.S. and here in Tucson, it didn't sink. To me, it did when the moment that we received the letter or we received confirmation, and I remember that the mayor said, hey, we're going to do a press conference, come to City Hall. I walk up to City Hall, 10th floor, press conference happened.
But people didn't realize how big it is.
I remember walking back to my office, and it was December, it was dark, really early, and I'm walking, and I'm like, oh my gosh, what have you done? This is big and it's a huge responsibility. So we have to do something with this. And I think that we have developed a very strong program for our community that is leading all the UNESCO cities of gastronomy worldwide. Mm-hmm. They're calling us. Yeah.
How do we uphold that responsibility? Because, you know, I don't mean to cast any aspersions mm-hmm. on it. I'm really happy that we have this and all that. But I look around and go, gosh, what makes us mm-hmm. this, you know? So I imagine you have to fulfill expectations.
Yes.
And so how do you do that? I mean, to make sure that people don't come here and be disappointed.
So it was, gosh, Tim, you nailed it on the head. I mean, it was, first of all, it was okay. People started calling and asking, City of Gastronomy, okay, how do I taste it? Like, oh, we need to find
develop. Some people thought it was like a new restaurant exactly. that opened. Oh, it's called the City of Gastronomy.
So it
or
was
like a place.
Meeting those expectations. So for the last years, well, first of all, so UNESCO said, you applied, great for you. You have a mandate to take this designation and do something with it. And by the way, every 4 years, you have to do a report. Mm-hmm. And you have to submit a formal report back to us, and then a committee of peer cities around the world are going to evaluate and give you recommendations. And they did give us recommendations, or they can say you failed, and we're going to be taking away the designation because you have done.
Oh, they can take it away.
Oh, yeah. Yep, they can take it away. So every 4 years or five, I can't remember. I think it's 4 years. Mm-hmm. We have to go back and present a formal report with documentation. So it was a very extensive document. It's reviewed by a panel of peers, and they came with recommendations. They told us, you've been doing great, but one area you're failing, it's international collaboration. You have to do more things internationally, and like, perfect, we get it, and we'll work in getting some projects there. But team, we'll be building a series of initiatives to make sure that we are really taking those the foundation of the City of Gastronomy and helping our community improve from working into urban agriculture. How can we help more local businesses get into urban agriculture, highlighting our history of agriculture? So the Tohono O'odham Nation, what they're doing, native seed search. With restaurants, we have developed a process because we got restaurants saying, hey, can I all of a sudden advertise that I'm a City of Gastronomy? Like, no, UNESCO has very strict guidelines. So we created actually our own application format for be certified as a food artisan or a restaurant. Now all cities of UNESCO are calling us or emailing says, can you send us an application because it's brilliant what you guys did. So Parma, I mean, cities around the world, mm-hmm. they're asking for our form.
So mm-hmm. It's an application for a restaurant or other uh-huh. business to be recognized as kind of an artisan?
To be called a certified City of Gastronomy restaurant.
Oh, okay.
So we're certifying, and it's a committee. I'm not involved in that committee, but we have a group of individuals. And basically, the application is there's multiple areas based after our application, and restaurants have to demonstrate that they're doing things, and they gain points depending on what they do. For example, do you source locally your products? Are you using styrofoam or using some recyclables? Do you pay above minimum wage? Do you have benefits for your employees? What about water? So there's all the 17 goals of UNESCO for 2030 agenda. What are you doing with those? And we've been blown away. We've been very surprised at Tucson restaurants, what they've been doing here locally.
But don't they have to meet some quality standard or some sourcing or something like that? Yeah, okay, so what? How do they do that?
So again, we're asking them source locally when possible. We understand that it will be one day. Hopefully, we'll get there. But whatever you can source locally, whatever you can do to pay good mm-hmm. wages for your employees, whatever you can do to reduce food waste, whatever you can do to reduce waste just in general. So we have, and again, they get points for each of those.
But it doesn't mm-hmm. It doesn't have to do with their. Quality as a okay yeah
no we yeah. don't have people yeah. going and checking out, and then they have to be locally owned and operated because we got some interest from some national chains of using it. It's like, no, you have to be a local restaurant, locally and owned and
operated. Do we know how many restaurants have now qualified?
25-26 I think we have, and we're trying to get more and help them actually. They're not certified, and they're going from a some bolcharo restaurants to some taquerias in South Tucson. So mm-hmm. it doesn't have to be a high-end, sophisticated restaurant. It's about the local food, cuisine, and gastronomy. And then last year, I think it was, we launched another area that was food artisans. Mm-hmm. I mean, we're talking about Don Guerra. I mean, he doesn't have a restaurant, but he's going after those principles of UNESCO with sourcing local ingredients. Exactly.
Yeah.
So now we have a food artisans food category artisans. As well.
And what is this Delice organization, D-E-L-I-C-E, that you're now the vice president of?
So Delis Network, it's an organization based out of Lyon, France. It's celebrating, I think, like 20 years. And Paul Bocuse, and we were talking, if you've seen Ratatouille, that that movie.
The movie Ratatouille.
Exactly. Yeah. So the character is based after Paul Bocuse. Paul Bocuse is seen in the world like one of the best chefs. He died a few years ago. Mm-hmm. And he had this concept saying, hey, food and gastronomy is an area where you can help your community evolve and grow. But very important is you need to share practices, get to know other people in other cities, learn from them, and adapt and change. So he created this network out of Lyon, France, and it's still based there. And Tucson, we were invited to be part of it a few years ago because they were seeing, and we had to fill up an application and go through a process. Mm-hmm. We were accepted, and we're fascinating because we're at the table with Madrid, Spain, Barcelona, Lyon, Buenos Aires,
Hong Kong. Are we one of the only North American cities?
There's right now three, Chicago,
okay,
Portland, and Tucson.
Huh.
But Tucson has become one of the most active, and this is our third year, and after the second year, we started getting calls and emails from other members saying, Felipe, please have Tucson apply for the governing body. You guys are doing amazing things. And I said, well, we're new. We're like the newbies here. And I got a lot of pressure, and we, of course, had the interest of doing so. So we applied, and there was elections, and we were elected the vice presidency of the network.
Mm. Tim.
Yeah, this is a fascinating. I looked up while you were talking the certified. There's a whole, as you were discussing, there's a whole different group. There's a lot of categories under which you can be certified, such as supporting the local food economy, keeping our food heritage alive, food artisans, beverage artisans, sustainable practices. So you can apply to be part of any of those categories.
Exactly.
Potentially, yeah.
So you gain points for every category. So you say, in this area, this is what I'm doing. Okay, you're going to get 4 points. In this category, I'm going to do this. So we want, and then what we want, Tim, is that for those restaurants to keep improving, so every year they have to apply again. So we're going to change it very likely for every 2 years, but they have to be keeping to apply. And we want those that didn't make it, we're meeting with them and helping them, like, hey, if you do these changes in your restaurant, you'll get enough points and you'll be able to qualify.
Yeah.
So we want more and more restaurants to be part of this network of certified restaurants.
It's also good, I imagine, if there are kind of nodes in town, places that can be like either an intersection or a neighborhood or something that has something to offer. Do you feel we have that, and do you take people to show them that?
So it's interesting you mentioned, because we did a tourism master plan about 2 years ago, and it's about the next 10 years, what Tucson has to do to keep growing our industry and our community and our tourism. One of the areas highlighted in this report was you need to create gathering places around Tucson. Because right now people think about gathering downtown, maybe 4th Avenue, and that's it. But what about the north side? What about the south side, east, west? We need to go. And we believe that restaurants could be those gathering places that you can have, as you say, a node or a pole of different restaurants, like 12th Avenue, La Doce.
Mm-hmm.
I think that's an area that can become this destination. I don't have plans for the weekend. Where do we go? Let's go to La Doce Drive and something will pop out.
Park and just kind of
walk
wander
around and see what looks good.
Yeah, I have hopes for Broadway when the Sunshine Mile reopens. Uh-huh. I don't know if it'll be a restaurant destination or not, but it certainly will be walkable. So that's one of many, many areas that could potentially serve the purpose.
Absolutely.
So food is huge for a lot of foodies that love to travel. So that's got to translate into big bucks for us.
Absolutely. Mm-hmm. So people that want to travel, we're seeing more and more individuals. Before it was an afterthought. He's like, well, I'm going to go to a city, and then once I have plans,
where do we eat?
Now people are starting to put eating as their destination driver. Mm-hmm. But something, Bill, that is very important that we need to work at is experiences.
Mm-hmm.
You want to go to a restaurant, and you want to know about the chef and how they're sourcing the product and have a discussion and possibly buy something to take back home. That's all. I mean, when you go to many destinations from wineries or whatever.
Sourdough bread from San Francisco.
Absolutely. Yeah. Chocolates. You go to Ghirardelli. Yeah. I need to bring boxes of chocolate with me. I go to Chicago. I have to get the popcorn to bring with me.
So what would you bring back from Tucson?
That's what we're trying to develop, more local businesses that have those products that hopefully will return into individuals trying to buy something from Chiltepines. I mean, Chiltepica, I think, is a great company, and individuals are fascinated by the Chiltepin. Mm-hmm. We had a couple of chefs from Tucson go to Macau, China, for their food festival. And there are 40 cities around the world. Macau, China has the largest concentration of Michelin star chefs from all over the world.
Because I did not know that.
Unbelievable, the food and the gastronomy of Macau, China. And of course, it's because there's casinos and there's a lot of gambling, there's a lot of money, so they're investing heavily in food and gastronomy. So they invited chefs from about 30 cities from around the world to go to Macau. And we had two chefs from Tucson, Devon Sanner, that used to work with Janos, and now he has his own restaurant here in Tucson. And Erica, her name is escaping, he used to work at Sage Kitchen. So both were our chefs representing Tucson. And for gifts, they took chiltepines. You had no idea the most popular gift that everyone was seeking was chiltepines. People from Sweden and people from Norway, they're like, can I take one? Like, no, you can take a little, we'll give you a little box with them and a little jar with it. They were fascinated with it because the culture, the history,
what
we
talk about. And for folks that don't know what that is, would you explain briefly?
So chiltepin, it's a pepper, very hot. It's hot a little pepper. Round. Okay. It grows in this part of the world. So here in Tucson, of course, Mexico, Sonora, very spicy, is used a lot in Mexican cuisine, especially the state of Sonora. Wow. They dry it, it's red. People crush it, put it in top of in soup. Northeast Mexico, they eat it fresh, the green version. But according to our colleagues at the UFA, the DNA of that pepper, it's one of the main DNAs for peppers around the world.
It is?
So they call it chile madre. The history of it is just phenomenal. So there's a history of a pepper. Then this company, Chiltepica, it's employing only women to pick it because they said they're more careful when they're picking the pepper.
Wow.
And they pay not by weight, but by hour. Wow. Because when they pay by weight, they're rushing to trying to get more product. And again, they're being very careful in the product. So again, a company doing very good things and that are using women to help, again, create a beautiful product or bring a beautiful product to all of us.
All right, Felipe, I'm going to have to wrap it up with you. I enjoyed the conversation. I'm sure Tim did as well. And we, again, congratulate you on being the new president and CEO of Visit Tucson. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Good to see both of you. Thank you.
Come back and visit us again. Okay, we'll pause right here in the Green Things Zocalo Village Studio. Our live line is presented by Rincon Ventures, Real Estate and Property Management. When we come back, I'm going to talk with Tim Steller right after this.
Vero Amore Restaurant in Plaza Palomino at Fort Lowland Swan and Dove Mountain in Marana are now open for limited in-restaurant and patio dining, along with takeout and home delivery. All of your favorite Vero Amore menu items, including Tucson's only certified authentic Neapolitan wood-fired pizza, are ready for you and your friends and family. More at VeroAmorePizza.com.
Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing is once again welcoming guests to the gallery. Stop by or call ahead for a one-on-one appointment or even a virtual design session. Come by Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing, located at the southwest corner of Fort Lowell and Dodge. The number is 795-8226 and on the web at moesgallery.com. Discover your world inside Biosphere 2. Explore living, breathing scientific research. Using the new Biosphere 2 Experience app, you can now explore one of the wonders of the world's amazing 30-year history and future through never-before-seen videos and photos. Visit today at info@biosphere2.org.
The The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun cover two of Arizona's most desirable communities. The newspapers reach more than 75% of the communities each week, with a combined population of more than 50,000. The Green Valley News also publishes a dozen magazines each year, and both newspapers publish up-to-the-minute local news online at gvnews.com. The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun, it's all right here.
Hi, this is Pam Krim, CEO of the Better Business Bureau of Southern Arizona, where we set the standards for marketplace trust by engaging with and educating consumers and businesses. The BBB is the place to turn for objective and unbiased information on businesses. Learn more about the many services offered by the Better Business Bureau of Southern Arizona at bbb.org/Tucson.
Cushman & Wakefield PICOR is Tucson's leading independently owned full-service commercial real estate company. Founded in 1985, Cushman & Wakefield PICOR offers leasing, sales, and property management for industrial, office, medical, retail, land, and investment properties in Tucson and Sonora, Mexico. Visit our website at PICOR.com for the latest news from Tucson's commercial real estate sector. That's PICOR.com. Call us at 748-7100.
Vets working hard to save wildlife covered in cactus spines. A skunk left for dead, miraculously saved by a caring citizen. Those are just a couple of the headlines from the nonprofit Tucson Animal Rescue Center, where thousands of animals are cared for each year at its state-of-the-art Far East Side Tucson facility. Rescue, rehab, and release. The Tucson Wildlife Center, saving wildlife for more than two decades. Donate online at TucsonWildlife.com or call 290-WILD.
Welcome back. It is the Buckmaster Show in the Green Thing Zocalo Village Studio, our live line presented by Rincon Ventures Real Estate and Property Management. Tim Steller is with us, award-winning Tucson columnist for the Arizona Daily Star. And Tim, first of all, wow. All I can say is Felipe is a bundle of energy. Felipe yeah. Garcia, this guy can, he knows food, he knows tourism. They made the right choice.
Oh, yeah.
I've known
Felipe for a long time. Yeah. I was so happy when they picked him. And
Everybody likes him.
Yep. And he tells the story. He knows how to sell Tucson. Mm-hmm.
So Mark Finchem, Arizona Secretary of State candidate, he has said, in my opinion, just some really outrageous things. He called the vaccines for COVID a crime against humanity. He suggested COVID-19 did not exist in the Canadian province of Alberta. What in the heck?
Well, I've been covering Representative Finchem for a lot of years. It feels like a lifetime. And it's completely in character that he says things that sound off the wall to anyone who hasn't followed him, because he tends to buy whatever the conspiracy talk is on the far right, because that's his political home. And so he doesn't, and he just doesn't believe anything that, comes from, well, I shouldn't say that absolute, but he doubts anything that comes from the mainstream if it isn't also approved by the far right. So anyway, we're in that world of misinformation and
the parallel universes is the world we live in.
So he's running for Secretary of State.
Does he have enough signatures? You mentioned today in your column that he was short about 2,000, and I guess the deadline's coming.
Yeah, but he's got time to get him.
April 1st or something
April
for the deadline.
April 4th is the deadline. So he's obviously he's a state legislator from Oro Valley, has represented that area for, I think, 8 years, if I'm not mistaken, and is very much a believer in the false idea that the election was stolen from President Trump, specifically here in Arizona. And he is running for Secretary of State. So that's a huge job. It's second only to the governor in our ranking of political positions in Arizona.
Tim, what's going on with the Arizona Daily Star? There was this takeover bid from one of these hedge funds. You guys, I guess you've bought a little time. There was some kind of a decision.
Yeah, so I mean, I don't know what the future holds, but this hedge fund called Alden Capital Management, I think it's Alden in any case, which is notorious in the newspaper industry for cutting costs and bleeding properties dry. They tried a hostile takeover some time ago. That their bid was rejected. Then they submitted nominations for the board of directors. So they wanted to start kind of getting control of the company, Lee Enterprises, that way. But the board rejected their nominations and it said they couldn't do nominations. And then that was tested in court in Delaware. And I think it was just this week the court upheld the company's stand. In other words, the takeover artists are not going to be able to get nominees on the ballot this year, at least.
So that gives a little bit of time?
Yeah, it just, you know, it means that those who already control the company will continue to control the company for the time being. And, I don't know. You know, I'm just cruising along. And as far as I know, everyone at the paper is kind of doing the same. We're just doing our work. And actually, I feel like we're in a decent moment right now at the paper.
After you leave here, you'll be working on the column for Sunday. Are you struggling with a topic, or do you have the top?
God, I hate it when I'm struggling at this time of day. Yeah. I am struggling to write, but I do have a topic.
Mm-hmm.
I'm doing a follow-up.
Maybe you need to go up to Mona's, have some coffee and a piece of Kringle and figure this out.
Well, I can't go to the Rincon and get a beer anymore.
That
was my old solution.
I remember that.
Yeah, but
the column will be Sunday about...
I'm dealing with allegations of police abuse that I first dealt with over Thanksgiving weekend. It was that big incident at the Culinary Dropout restaurant.
Oh, yeah. All right, Tim Stellar, always a pleasure. Thank you very much, Tim, and keep up the good work. Okay?
Thank you, Bill.
All right, we're going to pause right here. Weekend Watch with Matt Russell. Inside Tucson business food and beverage columnist joining us, and we'll have some ideas for the weekend right after this.
Tucson's original gastropub, Noble Hops in Oro Valley, proudly announces a second Tucson area location where you'll enjoy locally brewed craft beer and gastropub fine fare. Order in or take out at Noble Hops, a pub for foodies, on West Lambert Lane at North La Cañada Drive in Oro Valley, and now at the Doubletree Hotel on Alvernon across from Tucson's Reed Park. More on the web at noblehops.com.
A Citizens Advisory Committee of the Regional Transportation Authority is starting to review projects submitted by RTA member jurisdictions for consideration for the next RTA plan. The committee will consider plan goals and performance factors as they move into the selection process. The RTA will seek public feedback on the committee's draft plan when it is ready. Learn more about plan goals and sign up to stay informed at rtanext.com.
Hello, I'm Danette Bewley, CEO of the Tucson Airport Authority. At Tucson International Airport, we're nonstop supporting jobs and prosperity as an economic engine for our entire region. From an innovative and touchless passenger experience to earning the GBAC Star Accreditation, the golden standard for cleanliness, our team is ready to welcome you back to Tucson International Airport. Begin your journey with us. We're nonstop for you, Southern Arizona.
This is Bill Buckmaster urging my listeners to join me in becoming a member of the Reed Park Zoo, one of America's top zoos and home to more than 300 animals from all over the world. When you become a zoo member, you receive free daytime admission, discounts on special events and education programs, and so much more. Find out more about zoo membership and everything you need to know about your zoo visit, reedparkzoo.org.
Nestled in the foothills of the Santa Rita Mountains of southeastern Arizona is Equine Voices and Sanctuary. Home to horses and burros that were rescued from neglect, abuse, abandonment, and slaughter. Please consider Equine Voices Rescue and Sanctuary with a financial gift of support and estate remembrance. Learn more about our vision and values at equinevoices.org.
At
As a small business owner, I appreciate the services of a top-notch certified public accountant. That's why Michael C. Flowers of Flowers, Rieger & Associates is the CPA firm of the Buckmaster Show. Michael's a former Small Business Leader of the Year in Tucson. He'll professionally handle all of your accounting needs and tax preparation services. Flowers, Rieger & Associates, 6125 East Grant Road, and on the web, flowersrieger.com.
Time for Weekend Watch, presented by our friends in Silver City in Grant County, New Mexico. Just a three-hour drive to a beautiful area of the Land of Enchantment. And when you get there, how about some hiking in the Gila National Wilderness? And it's great weather for that. Perfect weather, actually, looking at about the 60s, around 60 degrees for highs over there. So cool weather, but you want that when you're out hiking. Go to southwestnewmexico.org, your starting place for what to do, and there's lots of things to do and some great places to stay. Silver City and Grant County, New Mexico. The longtime host of Weekend Watch is award-winning Tucson publicist Matt Russell, who is the Inside Tucson Business food and beverage columnist. How are you today, Matt?
Well, I'm doing great, and I have to just say, what a great interview with Felipe Garcia.
I mean, I tell you, he
can tell wonderful stories about food, and he reminds me that I need to stock up on my chiltepines this weekend.
He is such an asset. Mr. Energy, what a great ambassador.
Indeed.
For Tucson. Hey, Matt, is there any wine festivals going on this weekend?
Well, you know, you can tell that spring is in sight because it absolutely is wine festival time again. And the Steam Pump Ranch up in Oro Valley is where you're going to want to be tomorrow from 11 to 6 for the annual Off the Vine Wine Festival, sponsored by the Arizona Wine Growers Association. Now, this event is going to feature exclusive tastings from more than 20 Arizona wineries with live music and local food from local restaurants. Tickets are just $35 at the door, which includes some tastings and a glass you can take home. Temps hovering around the mid-70s tomorrow. I say there's no better place to be.
Hey, it's rodeo time again.
Starting to see the horses ride into town this week and to enjoy the kind of vittles that mark the season. So truly, you should scoot your boots and follow them horses over to the Tancoverde Ranch tomorrow night for their cowboy cookout. It's set up under the stars in the Cottonwood Grove. This is a true down-home ranch barbecue experience with all-you-can-eat grilled meats and western sides and desserts. Cowboy crooners singing, performing all night long. Lots of fire pits spread across the property. $39 for adults, $19 for the kiddos. I say yippee-ki-yay.
Hey, the three B's at Lowe's Ventana.
Yeah, this is big news for the Buckmaster Brunch Brigade. It's the world-famous Blues, Brews, and Barbecue Brunch. It has returned to Lowe's Ventana on Sundays. Just imagine, Bill, the biggest brunch you've ever been to with every possible dish, and then add a poolside barbecue pit with ribs and brisket and pork and all the other meats prepared over an open fire right in front of your eyes. Live blues music, bottomless beers from local brewers. It was actually listed in the top 100 brunches in America, so it's this Sunday and every Sunday now at Lowe's Ventana.
How about the column in Inside Tucson Business, Matt?
Yeah, this is a fun one. You know, I think if Route 66 and Toole Avenue actually intersected, it would probably be at Maynard's on February 23rd, and I tell a story about a beer dinner designed to virtually connect Pima and Coconino counties. It's all at Inside Tucson Business and Tucson Weekly.
You are a storyteller, and that's why we love you so much. Matt Russell, thank you very much. Great to hear your voice.
Great. Love you back, Bill.
All right. The Buckmaster Show. We are a presentation of our company, Bill Buckmaster Communications, LLC, which is wholly responsible for the content of our program. Original theme music composed by my German friend, Christophan. Our thanks to assistant Rosemary Brandt. Rose makes sure that all of those podcasts are up at buckmastershow.com in a very timely fashion. We also want to thank everybody here at KVOI, including joining my longtime engineer and producer, Tom Fairbanks, and the entire team at Bustos Media. They all do a great job. And I hope everybody has a great President's Day weekend.